T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Studs! Let's go!
Make me a bicycle, clown!
Welcome in. My name is Lawrence Holmes, and I am here with you until 8:40 tonight. That's when we will have Cubs versus Giants. Last night was some good news. The good news is that Kyle Hendricks went out there and did the damn thing last night. Bad news is that they lose, but it was an entertaining baseball game for the 11 innings that that game was played. So some good and some bad, a little mixed bag. There was some sloppy play from Anthony Rizzo and Javier Baez. But, you know, you lose a one-run game. It's one of 162, or how many they got left? Like 75 or something like that games left? They lost an opportunity last night because of the Brewers lost to Miami last night. But, you know, it is what it is. Here's what we have planned for you tonight. We are going to talk about tonight's Cubs game. And we'll have a special guest in studio to do that. Matt Spiegel will join me at 8 o'clock. He said to me, I thought that we would just get him on the phone. At 8 o'clock, he lives close. He said, I'm not doing anything tonight. Can I come and hang out in the studio? I said, yes. So the Scores Middle Children will ride again at 8 o'clock tonight. We're also going to spend a lot of time talking about the White Sox, which I'll get to momentarily. I have a couple of questions from our bigger conversation that kind of was born from the hockey stuff that we did last night that I would like to get into. And I had a great experience going to a Chicago Sky game on Saturday, and I wanted to talk about that. And if we have time, there's something I want to ask you about that. The phone number is 312-644-6767. You can follow me on Twitter at Lawrence W. Holmes. It's also where you can follow me on Instagram if you're on the gram. And in my bio for each, there's a link to my podcast, the House of L podcast. This week's guest is Justin Roman from the Styles and Roman show. It's really, really good. So, you know, if you're bored later on tonight or you have a long trip and you want to hear an interview with no commercials, you should check it out. It's good stuff. The first 7 weeks of the podcast have been great, and your support of that podcast have been awesome, and I truly, truly appreciate it. All right, on to baseball conversation. Over the last few weeks, you know, I go to White Sox games when I can. I still really enjoy going to games. I went to, was that last week, Herbie, or was that the week before that we all went to the game?
Week before.
So 2 weeks ago, it was me, Herbie, Jason Goff, Roki, and Layla Rahimi. We went to the White Sox game. We hung out. We had a great time. We talked to a lot of White Sox fans and enjoyed each other's company while we were there, while enjoying some baseball. The week previous, my wife and I had gone to go see the White Sox take on Oakland at that strange doubleheader that started at like 3 p.m. because we were like, why not? Let's just go over there and do that. And we had a great time. That being said, watching and or listening to White Sox baseball this year has been a grind for me. We all know what it is. We know what White Sox baseball is. And it's just hard. Like, it's difficult to watch baseball that, in a lot of respects, doesn't matter. A lot of this stuff that you're seeing from the White Sox doesn't matter this year. Even looking at the roster and going, who should I be paying attention to on this roster? I enjoy Yomer Sanchez and watching him. I think he's a solid player. Yoan Moncada, I watch Moncada, and he's been up and down this year. And lately, he's been more down than up. But we're all kind of sitting here waiting on the rest of the rebuild to go on. And I'm not, so that you understand where I'm coming from, I am not saying any of this stuff to try and persuade the White Sox to change the way that they go about their rebuild. I want to make that clear. Their plan is their plan. I am down with their plan, but it has hit some snags. It's hit some road bumps. And it's interesting to me that we live in a city where the other team that did the rebuild, which is kind of the idea behind it, had such incredible success with it that I wonder if that poisons our judgment on the way that things should be for the White Sox. I would love to get Cubs fans' opinion on this. And I would like to do a little bit of a cultural exchange here, if we can, in the first hour of the show. In those lean years, before things got popping, before April, before was it June where things started to really kick in? June of 15. I'd love to know, and maybe we don't even need to go to 15. Maybe we're just talking about 12, 13, 14. What advice does a Cub fan have for a White Sox fan in the beginning part of this rebuild? I'd like to do the cultural exchange. I'd like to have Cubs fans talk to me and talk to White Sox fans about what it's about and how you went about consuming Cubs baseball during the lean time. Did you not watch as much? Were you watching the rest of baseball? Did you just punt and just say, you know, I kind of got my summer nights free now for a while. I'll catch back up when this franchise catches back up. That's one part of this discussion that I want to have. The other part of this discussion, wait, before, let me rewind. I remember talking to people who work higher up in the Cubs organization. I was there, this is post-championship. And I remember talking to people over there about what it was like. And the people who worked there, they said it was hard, that it was difficult. They believed, and that's what pushed them through. Like, they saw the vision of their bosses. They saw what Jed and Theo and Jason McLeod were doing. And they believed, and they went to work believing. And they said, you know, you're at Wrigley Field every day, and you know the team's bad and it's going to lose, and you're trying to put a smile on because you have to go about your job, whether it's selling tickets or doing marketing for the team, and you're trying to figure out what's the best way to reach out to the fan base and this, that, and the other. And I found that fascinating. Now, that was a complete cultural shift in the Cubs as an organization. They were sweeping out the old and they were bringing in the new. And the people that were hired were young, enthusiastic, smart. In a lot of cases, they were people that Theo brought in specifically for what they do. So they had an interest in staying positive and having seen it before. I just wanted to share that anecdote because we are going to get some lessons from Jed and Theo on this too. Because I went to the archives and listened back to some of the stuff that they've said on this radio station about how hard a rebuild is. And they were talking about it from the baseball perspective. I'm talking about it from a strictly selfish fan perspective. That you want to support the White Sox, and I think that most of us have supported the White Sox in this endeavor overall. But there's a part of me that feels like, am I a bad guy if I'm not watching every night? And the answer to that question is no. I don't feel like I'm a bad guy for not watching. And the White Sox haven't been like, don't watch. But the White Sox do. They understand what they are. Like, they get what they are right now. And they're hoping that things are going to get better. The reason that I bring up the Cubs is for a lot of reasons, because I think that that's an easy parallel for people to make. I also think it's valuable for us to do the cultural exchange. And it's also to show how hard this is. Think about the guys that have come up for the Cubs. For the most part, everyone that they've brought up has had value. They haven't had a shuttle from here to Iowa. Guys, for the most part, have come up and stayed. There's a couple of exceptions, but you understand what I'm saying. And it still continues. Like, even a guy like David Bodie. Come up, I'll come and hit, and then you can send me down, and if you need me, I'm here. I remember people getting super hyped about Arizmendi Alcantara, and he had no place to play. What's Alcantara doing now? Do we even know? I'm not even sure what that guy's even doing now. But it shows you how hard it can be to do a rebuild from nothing to World Series level. So I thought that we could do that. And if you're a Sox fan, what I'd like to know from you is, what's your approach? Where maybe before White Sox games was required viewing, that you were going to watch White Sox games when you got home from work at night or after you were done with dinner, how much of that are you doing now? And is there any guilt at all? Because there's a portion of my psyche that's like, man, you need to be more invested. And then there's another part that's like, no, I don't. Not yet. My investment was, I applaud you guys doing this, and I'm here for you when things turn around. And I still go to a lot of games. I enjoy the product. When I go to games, like personally, I still enjoy that. And if you follow me on Instagram or Twitter, when I'm at a White Sox game, I can't stop raving about the time that I'm having. But the commitment on a nightly basis to watch what I know is not a finished product, oof, it's a little rough. 312-644-6767 is the number. Out to Woodstock and Bob. Hey, Bob, you're on the Score.
Hey, Lawrence, good to talk to you, man. I love listening to you.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
So I'm a Cubs fan, and, you know, it was pretty rough. I mean, I'd watch the games, and every night you were expecting, like, you got one spot in the lineup. If this guy doesn't hit a home run, you know you're not getting any runs. But then all of a sudden, a couple of years later, it's like now you're expecting them to win every night, and it's such a great feeling. It's worth the wait. But a couple of things that I want to tell you that – part that drove me crazier than anything was people calling in to the Score talking about you need to get rid of Baez or you need to get rid of Contreras and these players, and you got to give them time. It takes time for them to grow and you know, really, really show what they can do. If you think everything's going to turn around and they're going to play perfect the first year, the second year, I mean, hell, you can play all your life and not play perfect. But you know what I mean? It just takes time, and you got to give them time.
So what were you doing, Bob, as things were bad? Like, how much were you watching?
I turned the game on until they were down, you know, by two or three runs. And if it went through, like, four or five innings and it didn't look like anybody was, like, even getting hit, I'd go do something else, go play golf or something.
Okay, that's fair. I appreciate the jump-off way to start things off tonight. Let's go out to Lake Zurich and talk with Tom. Hey, Tom, you're on the Score.
Hey, Lawrence, I'll echo the previous fellow's thoughts. Really enjoy you. You're great. Thanks for what you do.
I appreciate that. It's very nice of
you. So, a unique perspective. I grew up a Sox fan. I married a Cubs fan 15 years ago. Got season tickets to the Cubs. Gave them up in 11. Didn't want to watch minor league baseball for 3 years. And watched the genealogy, the progression. I see one difference between the two organizations. I think that the Sox, A, I would preach patience, but B, the Sox are going to have a good team. position player wise, and they're going to compete in a couple of years. But here's the difference from my perspective. I don't ever see Jerry Reinsdorf, or at least my history, 50 years with the White Sox, paying John Lester, Yu Darvish kind of money. Because at the end of the day, in the playoffs, what it always comes down to is pitching, right? And I don't know. I hope I'm wrong, because I still have a soft spot, like the Sox, would like to see him win. But at the end of the day, I don't know that they'll ever make the commitment. That's point one. Point two, real quick, is nobody has, from my experience, the eye of an Epstein, right? Either he's brilliant or lucky or both. But when you think about, you know, like you said, competing for a position, look at the outfield on the Cubs, right? You can't get an at bat. Look at Bodie, right? I don't know that Han is either that talented or will be that lucky. I hope I'm wrong. And I'd love to see them play each other in the World Series. That's it, brother. Thanks for what you do.
Tom, I appreciate the phone call. It's true. When we're talking about the smartest guys in baseball, and Theo would probably bristle at this, but name me someone smarter. I have a lot of faith in Rick Hahn's intelligence, too. And I do appreciate what they've done with kind of overhauling their way of scouting. I really like Nick Hostetler. I don't know if my faith in him is unwarranted, but there were plenty of times when I'd be around the White Sox and I didn't quite understand their method. And when I listen to Hostetler, I understand his method through his messaging. And I think that that's important. I think that it's important for any organization. You don't necessarily have to be transparent, you know, 100% transparent, but I do think that you need to be clear in purpose. And if you're explaining to me, Hostetler broke it down before the draft saying, what we're doing in the draft is we're stacking our board. And we're saying, if we were drafting number one, and whatever player that we have at the next highest level is who we're getting. We're not looking at this, at least with the first round pick, from a position. We're just ranking the players, starting with the best, and whichever best player is available, that's who we're going to take. And I said, okay, I completely understand. They ended up with Nick Madrigal. They seem happy with Nick Madrigal. But I like the clarity in messaging that's been going on. I don't know if this is going to result in the White Sox being a World Series champion, but I do like that there seems to be a clear purpose. And when you're looking at the trades that have been made and the guys that they have in the minor leagues, it is tempting and exciting to hit the fast forward button. But what you're seeing, and Rick told you this last year, Rick said, look, everything's kind of going our way right now. It's not going to be that way the whole time. And then look what started to happen. Guys haven't lived up to their potential yet. Guys are getting hurt left and right. Mike Rodolfo, my pick to click. Now got to have Tommy John surgery. We'll hear Rick talking about that a little bit later on. The amount of luck that goes into it is significant when you're talking about how well prospects do and them not running into some of these problems. Let's go out to Riverside and talk with Marco. Hey, Marco, you're on the score.
Hey, Lawrence. Love you. Love your show.
Thank you, man.
When it was really hard to watch 68, 69 win Cubs, spent a lot of time paying attention to what the minor leaguers were doing. When we had Wilson Contreras and Javi Baez in Iowa, and they were awesome, and the Cubs had like the top two catching prospects with Castillo and Contreras down there. And so I spent a lot of time paying attention to these guys. And some of them, remember, Josh Vitters was supposed to be the dude, and he wasn't. And they don't always end up being the ones that get you the title, but maybe there's going to be a blockbuster move that sends your prospects out there that brings in that centerpiece that's going to be what leads to in-depth great franchise. And so that's what I was doing in 2014, 2013, is watching those young guys. And I do that now as I respect the White Sox. I say, man, they're there's some arms down there. There's some kids down there that are going to be able to play. And 24 is the new 28. They're going to be up here sooner than later, and it's going to be exciting.
Was there ever a point, Marco, where your hope waned?
No, because the hope didn't wane because the Iowa Cubs, I think, were like winning whatever championship that they play for down there. So you're like, wow, that's a really good team on that level. You know, Chris Bryant was the man down there. So it's like, that's going to transfer over. Now, if the guys don't get good and it's hard to watch minor league baseball, then forget about it. It's like, that's stupid.
It's like you're wasting your time.
There's so much promise on that level down there. You're like, that's got to mean it's going to get good in major league level.
Marco, thank you so much for the phone call. I appreciate it. We're going to take a break, but I want to keep going here. 312-644-6767 is the number. Cubs fans, I want to have a cultural exchange with Sox fans. I want you to tell them what it's like in the lean years and how you were consuming Cubs baseball. And if you're a White Sox fan, I want you to talk to me about your consumption. How are you consuming White Sox baseball? Is there any guilt if you're not watching or listening at the same frequency that you were 2 years ago, let's say, when they were still in kind of quasi-go-for-it mode? Speaking of the Cubs offering the White Sox advice, the two guys that run the Cubs baseball operations are pretty smart. And over the last couple of years, they've had thoughts on team building. Jed Hoyer said something, I went back into the archives, said something last year about what the White Sox are doing that I think you should hear. I'll play that for you next here on The Score. We here at the show are very happy that you are hanging out with us, the crew. Herb Lawrence, Adam Studzinski, a.k.a. Studs. My name is Lawrence Holmes, here with you until 8:40. Conversation on tonight's show. We are talking about how do you make it through watching rebuild baseball? And we're asking Cubs fans to help White Sox fans out with this, with their strategy. If you'd like to be a part of the cultural exchange, 312-644-6767 is the number. Northwestern football, Coach Fitz and the Music City Bowl champs host Michigan, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Notre Dame, and more this fall at Ryan Field. Season and single game tickets are on sale now at nusports.com. By the way, Friday over on Channel 9, I worked on a feature with my buddy Ben Bradley about the city of Homewood. Like, they're doing this spotlight like of cities like once a month. And Homewood is the city that they're doing this week. So I went out to Homewood Bat. Like, we went to Homewood Bat. We went to HF. And we went to Aurelio's and did some stuff today. I had so much fun at Homewood Bat. Thanks to Todd and everyone over there. They have a cage in there. They let me go in the cage. There are a couple college kids in there. I retweeted. It turns out one of the kids in the cage is the nephew of one of the guys I went to high school with. Was like, man, I'm old. You playing college ball? Like, okay. But I posted, and this guy was like, all pulls. I wasn't going in there working on stuff. I was going in there for Yakutal time. I was trying to hit pumps. I don't ordinarily do that. I'm a middle right guy. But I was out there trying to hit pumps. I was working on velo, exit velo, and launch angle. That's all I cared about. I had a couple, like square. And there's nothing like the sound of a inside of a cage with a wooden bat. Oh, that just sounds great. So thanks everyone out at Homewood Bat. He also gave me a good idea for the podcast. So that might be happening soon. Not me at the batting cage again. No one wants to see that except for me. 312-644-6767 is the number. I promised you that I would get some Cubs analysis of the White Sox. I went back to last year. This was the 1st of August last year. And Jed Hoyer was on the Mully and Hanley show. Here's what he had to say about the White Sox approach to rebuilding.
I think one of the things I've said publicly about our own rebuild was that I felt like, you know, we didn't cut corners, that we went all the way. You know, that when we had a chance to make a trade, we made it. And I think a lot of teams, you know, hold on to guys for various reasons and aren't willing to do that. And I think that the White Sox, they traded all the guys that they wanted to trade. They didn't cut any corners. And as a result, I think they've got a really stacked minor league system. I think that's exactly right as far as you got to transition these guys from the minor leagues to the major leagues. And that is a hard process. And I think, you know, we had definitely some growing pains and some ups and downs as we did that. We were able to transition probably a bit faster than we thought we were, what it would be able to do. And I think that, you know, John Lester and Dexter Fowler and Miguel Montero and Jake Arrieta had a big role in that. Those guys really stabilized our roster and allowed some of those ups and downs from the young players when they came up to the big leagues, and allowed it that those minor leaguers weren't leaned on quite as much. They were able to be somewhat in the background. You know, Riz helped with that as well. So I think the transition is really difficult. Trying to make sure that you get these guys to the big leagues, allow them their time to struggle, and still try to compete at the same time. And you know, I said that yesterday on the conference call, looking at our minor league system now. They asked me the question about prospect rankings, and you know, I said we're still always the youngest team when you look out on the field. You know, we have a ton of young talent at every position. These guys have already transitioned to the big leagues. It doesn't mean they won't still get better. It doesn't mean they don't have development left. But these guys have made that transition, and to me, that's really important. That we have this young core of players. But for the most part, they've made that transition, and they're now major league players. And that is the hardest thing to do, is make that transition. I think that's the challenge that every rebuilding team really has.
Some sage stuff there from Jed Hoyer about this. That it is difficult to get that final step. And Rick Hahn actually talks about this a lot when he talks about development and the development and what needs to happen between what a kid is doing at AAA and what might look successful versus that translating into success at the major league level. Let's go out to South Holland and talk with John. Hey, John, you're on the Score.
Hey, great show. I think that my biggest thing that I did, I'm a Cubs fan, lifelong Cubs fan, Southside Cubs fan, so long suffering. But in those lean years, three things. Number one, I focused on the minor league system.
John, I have a question on that. Because a lot of people say, I focused in on the minor league system. How did you do it? Like, were you just watching box scores? Were you going out of your way to watch games? Like, how did it work?
Yeah, no, I didn't go out of my way to watch games, but definitely box scores. And then they always have those, like if you go to the MILB sites and different ones, they have the hot stove and who's hot in the minors. So I was always reading that because there would always be a Cub on there. So I'm always watching to see, are they staying hot? Did anybody join them? I'm checking the box scores. And then I was really paying attention to see how they would do like in their playoffs. So one of the earlier callers talked about the Iowa Cubs, but the Tennessee team also won a lot. So we were winning at like multiple levels in the minors. So you kind of, you know, you leaned on that. And then anytime a player in the majors, you know, started to do pretty well, you got excited about who there would be flipped for. I mean, it was constantly, who's Theo going to get next? Who's Theo going to get next? And, you know, I mean, he was flipping guys and then re-signing them in the off season and then flipping them again. I mean, it was just crazy. And then the last thing is because so a lot of people had kind of stopped going, the tickets were easier. And so I was able to take my kids, me and my boys would go to games, and I could, you know, not expecting the Cubs to win, but just, you know, a father and son get to go and enjoy a game and let them fall in love with the team that I love. And I just bided my time. I knew Theo would probably need about 5 years in order to make the team competitive. And I mean, it was 3.5 before we were, you know, before we got hot in June of 15. And so I actually think we went a little bit early.
Earlier
than my expectations.
And I think what Jed was talking about. And great phone call, John. That's what Jed was talking about there. That they were able to get a lift maybe quicker than they expected to, but they had some pieces in place that were ready. Like, I remember, and we were talking about this in the context of John Lester and the John Lester signing, that when they made the signing, you were like, man, this is a little early. It's a little early to sign John Lester. But it worked to get them to a World Series, and it's gone beyond being valuable. Like, you would have thought that the value in that, just like with the value of Ben Zobrist's contract, has been fulfilled. Older guys, older pitching for sure, but an older guy, you brought him in. I said at the time, when I remember we were at Buffalo Wild Wings doing the show, when that was announced, and I said, if Ben Zobrist is a 7-WAR player for his entire contract with the Cubs, you should be happy. And I was saying that, you know, the first 2 years of that contract would probably eat up most of the WAR. Herbie, can you find out what Ben Zobrist is? What his WAR is right now? Because what's he got? One more year left on that deal? And he's already been World Series MVP. So even if he isn't a 7-WAR player, you got value out of that money already. Same thing with Lester, where Lester, you put him in a position and it happened to work out, and he was a horse for you as you went on to go win a World Series.
6.1.
He's 6.1 now.
B-War.
So he's pretty much paid for himself. If you add in the World Series MVP aspect of it, he's paid for himself already. And there's one more year left on that deal, correct? Easy money. He's been terrific this year, by the way. Absolutely terrific. Deerfield and Aaron. Hey, Aaron, you're on the Score.
Hi, Lawrence. I just want to say you have a great show.
Thank you.
And I love you guys all there, so I listen pretty much all day. but my comment today, as a Sox fan, I'm taking the rebuild in strides. You know, you watch a game, you want to see the small things. You want to see, how does Moncada's swing look? You know, where are we on the outfield and who will be in the outfield? Is Paul Cook here to stay? And I think just comparably, it's really hard to compare any team rebuilding to the Cubs and what they've done, to be as good and to have as much success as they have, with their prospects is kind of, seemingly unrealistic to the rest of the MLB, and crowd. And, with the White Sox, I think you're looking at more like Kansas City, where it takes a little bit longer. It's a smaller market. And we might not go to 3 ALCSs in a row.
I appreciate the phone call. We need to take a break. We'll take more of your phone calls. We'll hear from Rick Hahn. And Theo Epstein has some thoughts on team building and organization building that I think are germane to this conversation. I'll share that with you next here on The Score. This hour is being brought to you by Cars for Kids. Let me try that again. This hour is being brought to you by Cars for Kids. Call 1-877-CARS with a K, the number 4KIDS. This segment being brought to you by the fine folks at Walgreens. Walgreens is here for all your diabetes needs. Stop by today to consult with your pharmacist and get trusted advice and tips about your diabetes medication and testing supplies. On Saturday, I am going to be out at Ed Napleton Honda in Oak Lawn from 1 until 3. We're doing a cool event with a USO, be a barbecue for the troops. You should come out if you're in the area. Come by, say hi. We can talk White Sox if you want, Cubs, whatever. We can talk about none of it. We can talk comic books if you want. I don't care. 5800 West 95th Street. Supporting the troops that are at home or deployed. I'm looking forward to this Saturday afternoon, 1 until 3, at Ed Napleton Honda out in Oak Lawn. I promised you Theo Epstein on team building and organization building. I want you to listen to this, and then I want you to think about whether you feel that the White Sox are in this position. I'm not trying to lead the jury. I just want – these are some of the things that are now floating around my head in the evaluation of the White Sox as an organization. It's from Theo Epstein. This is also last August, him talking about control players and building ahead. Here's what he said.
Like the big picture, what we're trying to do, build a healthy baseball operation. Like there are thousands of decisions that go into that over many years, and you don't control all of that. Like you control a lot of it if you make really good decisions, bring in great people, build great processes. Over time, you know, you're going to get some bad luck, some good luck, but you know, if you're good, you should ultimately build a healthy baseball operation. Now, over the course of a season, you control a lot less. You know, there's a lot more randomness that goes into that. You know, usually the 162 creates a meritocracy and you get what you deserve, but not always. And then break it down further over the course of a postseason series, well, you control a lot less than that. And now you're looking a lot closer to a 50-50 proposition. Now, one game, you basically have no control over that. You know, in the course of the game, you can increase your odds only to a certain extent. So that's where baseball becomes, you know, sort of a challenge to comprehend the whole thing, and you have to focus on what you can control. So it's a lot easier for us in the front office to control, are we doing the things that go into building a healthy baseball operation, than it is to say, are we going to win this game tonight? Are we going to win this series? Are we going to have a successful season? You take ownership of that, but you realize that all you're doing is making a series of decisions that put you in a position to hopefully get the best possible outcome when that outcome is also influenced by luck and randomness. So this has kind of become a more of a theoretical and philosophical conversation, but that's the way we look at it. Like, you can't control everything, so you better do a good job of controlling the things that you can and building the right kind of systems, bringing in the right kind of people to influence the operation that we have.
I love that. And that's now one of the ways that I can look at and kind of judge what I'm seeing from the White Sox. Are they making decisions that are building a healthy organization? And I think in a lot of regards, they are. I think that some of the changes that have been made, like I was talking about earlier in the scouting department, have resulted in a healthier baseball organization. There are some things that I don't like. That's that. I don't like. How many people, Herbie? How many?
I mean, I barely got it, but I'm old, so these youngsters might have got it.
That went way over my head. I have no idea what you just did.
That might be a cultural issue. It might not be that. That might not be an age issue. That might be a cultural
issue.
That's
fair. That's fair.
No, it's fine. That's the great thing about this. Anyway, what was I talking about? I don't know. Oh, stuff that I don't like. That's that I don't like. I haven't liked that we've had to have a couple of conversations about guys playing hard. Now, granted, most of these guys don't matter. They don't matter. But I don't like that some of these guys have had to been told, like Lourdes Garcia has been told a few times that he's not playing as hard as he can. Don't like that. This is the reason that you hired Rick Renteria, to squire some of these young guys along and to build great culture in your clubhouse. Can't have that type of nonsense. Bartlett and Ryan. Hey, Ryan, you're on the score.
Hey, Lawrence. First-time caller, long-time listener.
Thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
Yeah. One of the big points you're making about kind of tuning in when it comes to TV and watching a team that's, what, 30 games below 500, one of the main things that's kind of kept me drawn in was the hiring of Jason Benetti. I think him and Stoney do a great job. I'm always either entertained or learn something or, you know, whether it's a 1-1 ball game or a 10-0 ball game, they do a great job. So I think that's a big influence when it comes to me tuning in, especially when I do tune in after work. They are down 10-0.
It's really meshed well, Ryan. And I was concerned because Stoney is very old school. But what they found, and it's funny because I talk with Jason about this on my podcast, they found that a lot of times you're saying the same thing. You're just saying it differently. And,
exactly.
And I think that they found a really happy medium, a nice place where some of this stuff can be discussed. And I think on the broadcast themselves, they've used more statistics. And Jason's really good at explaining why a specific statistic matters instead of just throwing it at you. And I enjoy that about him.
And I believe they're not afraid to criticize but still be fair. They know it's a young team. They know it's a growing team. They know they have a long way to go. But they're not afraid to say, hey, this guy didn't do the right thing, but he's young. It's going to be okay. So I think they do well in explaining, kind of explain to the common fan that this is how it's going to be and this is why it's that way.
I appreciate the phone call. Thanks for jumping in, Ryan. Let's go out to Aurora and talk with Mike. Hey, Mike, you're on the score.
Hey, Lawrence. Thanks for taking my call. Love your show. And very excited about the topic, actually. The reason I'm mainly calling, and I almost feel like I'm agreeing with some of the other callers, especially Sox fans, by the way, lifelong Sox fan, obviously. And what concerns me about the rebuild, I was all in, you know, at the very beginning. You know, I'm very excited about it. A lot of Cubs fans telling me, hey, don't worry, it's going to be fine, blah, 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 blah. However, from what I've been seeing lately, I have to agree with a couple callers ago, is that it concerns me that I'm not seeing, and I know it's still early, but I'm not seeing a lot of development in the pitching. That was what I was most excited about it at first. And I just wanted to add to the point that, sorry, I'm a lot of breath. I keep running in from outside.
No, it's okay.
But no, the other thing that, but to my other point and the other caller's point was that, my own point was that, you know, I'm a little concerned about the pitching development, even though it's early. But also that, you know, I liken the Cubs rebuild to that of like the 05 Sox in my mind, in that that's something we may never see ever again. You know, the development of these players for the Cubs have been phenomenal. If not, from an odd standpoint, geez, I wish I was gambling still, because I would have made a lot of money if I was to bet 100% on all their prospects hitting, you know. We're looking at, you know, you're lucky if you have two, you know, hits. You only bring up as many as they have.
You're 100% correct on that. And that's what's so scary about what the Cubs have done, that they keep finding guys and those guys keep coming up and they're playing at not just, you know, replacement level, major league level, but all-star level.
Well, it is. You're right. And, you know, again, I'm sorry, I'm repeating myself here, but, you know, they got Theo Epstein. We got Rick Hahn. You know, and that, not saying I don't like Rick Hahn. I'm sure he's a very intelligent man, very, you know, appears to know what he's doing. But, again, you know, the last caller, a couple callers ago, said something about he's got the eye or the luck or both. You know, is that what's going to happen for Rick Hahn? That's not a big question. But I guess I wanted to ask you more or less, what's your opinion on, what's your take on the pitching lately that hasn't come to fruition in my mind?
Okay, I'll answer that question right now. The Cubs have converted me when it comes to thoughts on pitching and pitching development. I was a person who felt like, well, you know, you got to develop your own guys. And if you can develop a whole staff, that'd be great. And a couple bullpen arms for guys who are failing starters and blah, 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 blah. I no longer hold that belief. I think that it is almost impossible to do. And even if you see it happen, it won't happen for long. I.e. the New York Mets. I think that it has to be a combination of a prospect that you have developed that doesn't show significant wear and tear on their arm and making the right strategic moves in your rotation from a free agency or trade standpoint. If you look how the World Championship Cubs were built, it wasn't like, well, they're just bringing up arm after arm after arm. They were focused on position players. They were looking for pitchers who they felt like they could reclimate. They were looking for big money pitchers like John Lester. They were willing to pay for the pitching. And I think that that's a more feasible way of team building than trying to grow a rotation from the minor leagues up and then get all those guys to the majors without significant arm issues. and without them being bad. Now, in some cases, the White Sox had done that. I mean, they traded for Quintana, but he became theirs, and they worked him through and got him to the major leagues. Chris Sale was there. They got him to the major leagues, and he's one of the best pitchers. Probably will win Cy Young in the American League this year if he doesn't slow down at the end of the season. But count me as the converted. The risks that you take have to be with pitching that's young enough that long-term dollars don't look crazy. Growing pitching to me is difficult. All right? Okay. So, we need to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to let you hear from White Sox GM Rick Hahn. There was some news about this team today, and there's a guy that every time you see Avi Garcia play well, I'm like, please trade him. Please trade him. Please trade him. And inevitably, oh, he's back on the DL again. Shazbot! Back after this on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.